And again, Merry Christmas. It's good to have all of you in worship today as we have the rare opportunity to actually gather and worship on a Sunday, which also happens to be Christmas. So I'm proud of you all for braving the cold and for getting up and being here today to worship with us. So before we look at this text together, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are humbled and we are in awe this morning as we remember the gift that you gave us in Jesus Christ all those years ago. And we pray now that as we read your word, that we would be amazed anew and that we would be moved to worship you more deeply and more fully in everything that we do. And so in our next few minutes together, we pray that you would do the thing that only you can do, which is to open our eyes to see your truth, and that your truth would set us free. We ask all this in the strong and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If your home is anything like mine, then this morning you were perhaps exchanging gifts with loved ones, giving and receiving, or if you haven't done that yet, maybe you will later today, or perhaps you did yesterday. But we all know that Christmas is the season of gifts, right? We are thinking about what to give and what to receive. And for the most part, giving and receiving gifts is a joyful thing, is it not? But it can also be a challenging thing. It can be complicated at times. Everyone has that person in their life who is just impossible to shop for, right? Either they're too picky or they don't even know what they want. You can never seem to get them the right thing. And if you are not thinking of someone right now, trust me, someone is thinking of you as that person. Or you have those relationships where it can be a little awkward because you don't really know how much you're supposed to spend on a gift, right? In certain dynamics. What is the cost that you're supposed to spend on a gift? A few years ago, a friend of mine started dating a girl like in December, right before Christmas, which is a terrible idea because of this very reason. He had just started this relationship and he said, you know, this is a brand new relationship. We don't really know where it's going. I'm going to get her something a little bit subdued, just sort of a nice gesture. And so he made her fudge. And it was good fudge, but he made her fudge for Christmas. Meanwhile, she gave him a new Patagonia jacket, the complete box DVD set of the Planet Earth series, and a new leather wallet that he had wanted for years. So you can imagine that was not a great Christmas for him in particular. The gifts did not correspond in value. He misread the situation. Or we just never really know how a gift is going to be received, right? We often give a gift thinking this is perfect for this person. And then they receive it and they have something very different in mind. One of my favorite movies is Father of the Bride. Many of you have probably seen this before. And in that movie, the wedding between the couple is almost called off because the groom gives his bride a blender as a wedding gift. And for him, it's this token of this sign of the life that they are about to build together. Whereas she received it as a subtle message about her place being in the kitchen and what kind of domestic wife that she was supposed to be. She did not receive it the way that the giver anticipated it. Gift giving is complicated, is it not? But what we're celebrating this morning on this Christmas day and what we see clearly in this text, this famous text, John 3:16, is that 2,000 years ago, God gave us the greatest gift in his son, Jesus Christ. And it was the perfect gift in every way. Here's what I mean by that. It's been said that the true value of a gift can be measured by three things: the motivation of the giver, the cost to the giver, and the need that the gift fulfills. Let me say that again. The true value of a gift can be measured by the motivation of the giver, the cost to the giver, and the need that the gift fulfills. And we see all three of these dynamics at play in John 3:16. So let's walk through this verse together over the next few minutes and see how in Christ God has given us the greatest gift of all. So first, the motivation of the giver. There are all sorts of reasons we give gifts. And not all of them are good or pure motivations. Isn't that right? Maybe we give someone a gift because we feel guilty about something and we're trying to make amends, which isn't bad, but there's sort of a motive there besides just pure generosity. Or maybe we want someone to be indebted to us by the gift that we give them, right? I'm sure none of y'all have ever done that, but here's a little Christmas morning confession from your pastor. Often when I'm buying a gift for my wife, Abby, I'll find myself thinking, you know, if I get a really nice gift, then perhaps next time it's her chance to buy me a gift, she will return the favor. So I'm giving a gift, but it is far from selfless. There's actually selfish motivations behind that gift. So what is the motivation behind God giving us his son? It's right there in the text, clear as day. Have your bulletin in front of you so we can read along. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. God's love for you this morning and every day is so unfathomably deep, so unimaginably abundant, that he gave you the gift of his son. There's no backhanded coercion with God when he is giving this gift. He's not trying to get us on the hook for something later. He gives purely out of love. And that's what love does, right? That's what we do on Christmas morning. When you love someone, it's almost our natural instinct to give them something. We want good things to be given to them, and we rejoice in the opportunity to do so. And that is exactly what God does for us. So the motivation of his giving is love, but the depth of that love is measured by the cost of the gift, right? The depth of that love that he has for us is measured by the cost of the gift. A truly meaningful gift will in some way, not just monetarily, but in some way cost the giver something. It will be a sacrifice in some way. In the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus and he's watching these extraordinarily rich people come and give their offerings at the temple, right? And they're writing big checks. Maybe it's a $25,000 annual pledge to their temple or something like that, right? This is big money that Jesus is seeing go into the offering plates. But then a widow comes forward and she puts in two insignificant coins, and Jesus says that she is actually the one who gave more. Now, obviously, monetarily, she didn't even give a portion of what the rich people gave, but she gave out of her lack. Her gift cost something. It was a significant sacrifice. So what is the cost of the gift that God gave us 2,000 years ago in Jesus Christ? Keep reading. For God so loved the world that he gave, what did he give? His only son. Not just his son, but his only son. Could there be anything more costly? Could there be anything more precious? Could there be a greater sacrifice? God the Father did not look around heaven and say, you know, there are a lot of angels here. I could spare one of them. I'm going to send an angel to fix this problem. No, God the Father looked at the world that had rejected him, the world that had walked away from him. And together, God the Father and God the Son, in perfect unity with one another, in perfect unity with one another, both decided this is the sacrifice that needs to be made. This is what is required to rescue humanity from their sinfulness. We talk about love all the time during Christmas, right? But usually it's sort of this very shallow, sentimental, kind of sappy love, right? And I primarily blame Hallmark movies, which are great. I'm not trying to hate on them, right? I love them too. They're enjoyable. But the picture of love presented in those movies is usually not particularly true to real life. And that is certainly not what John is talking about here in this verse. The love motivating the gift that God gave us in Christ is love that has counted the cost. It is love that is so deep that God was willing to suffer and to die in order to save us. One theologian said that the crib and the cross are made out of the same wood. The crib and the cross are made out of the same wood. We cannot look at the baby lying peacefully in the manger without thinking about God hanging on the cross in our place for us. The two are intimately connected. Out of love, God gives the costliest gift. And in doing so, he fulfills this third piece of the puzzle for a truly valuable gift. He meets our deepest needs and desires. Have you ever gotten a gift that is a nice gesture, but you don't really have any use for it? Anybody? Perhaps this morning, I won't ask you to out yourself and raise your hand or anything like that. You know, you're opening up a box, you're very excited about it. And then you open it and you think, you know, this is really nice, but I already have a perfectly good coffee maker. You know, I don't really need a new one right now. And so you're looking for the gift receipt. This was big in my family growing up. We always included the gift receipt for this reason. And there was no hard feelings, right? You just included the gift receipt. Or you're thinking about how to you can sell it on Facebook Marketplace later that day or something. You're just thinking, I gotta figure out what to do with this gift that is nice, but I do not need it. But on the other hand, is there any greater feeling than when you open up a present and you can honestly say, this is exactly what I needed, or this is exactly what I wanted? Is there any greater feeling? Or when you're giving a gift, isn't that exactly what you want to hear out of the recipient? This is exactly what I needed. Our greatest need as human beings this morning is not a new iPhone. It's not jewelry. It is absolutely nothing that can be wrapped in a box and put under a tree. None of that stuff will ultimately satisfy our deepest longings. It might satisfy our longings today, but in the grand scheme of things, it does not satisfy and fulfill our deepest needs and desires. Because our greatest need as human beings is the forgiveness of our sins so that we can be reconciled to God and rescued from death. Our greatest need is that we can receive the forgiveness of sins so that we can be reconciled to God and rescued from the power of sin and death. We know this all too well, but in this very room, we have said goodbye to dear saints, friends and family who we love, who we're probably thinking about more than usual on a day like today. And if we're honest, we know that one day it will be our turn, right? One day the funeral will be for us, and people will gather for our own funerals. And I'm sorry, I know you're probably thinking, it's Christmas, why are we talking about funerals? Don't do that. But we have to do that, because the true victorious message of Christmas, the true message of Christmas is that 2,000 years ago, a baby was born who would one day overcome death, who would free us from the slavery of death, who would fulfill our deepest needs and desires. And if we place our trust and our faith and our hope in him, we will not perish but receive eternal life, as the verse says. And so the good news of Christmas, friends, is that we no longer have to be afraid, and we no longer have to be ashamed. Our deepest need to be delivered from death has been accomplished by God and has been given as a gift to us in Jesus Christ. As one of our Advent reflections from our staff devotional said this month, which I hope y'all enjoyed. I was really impressed with the staff with that devotional. But one of my favorite lines from that book says, "To contemplate Jesus's birth is to tremble at his power over death." To contemplate Jesus' birth is to tremble at his power over death. Friends, this morning we have nothing left to do but to receive this gift with gratitude and with thanksgiving and to go out and to share it with one another. We're not worthy of it. We couldn't earn it. We certainly do not deserve it. But Jesus was given to save sinners and screw-ups just like you and me. That is the good news of Christmas morning. And so my hope and prayer today, as you go from here and enjoy lunch and time with friends and family perhaps, is that if you have not yet received this gift, that today would be the day that you believe, like John talks about in our passage this morning, that you would believe and receive the gift of eternal life. And if you have received this gift, that you would go out from here rejoicing at the miracle of what the Christ child has accomplished for us, all motivated by God's love. Thanks be to God.